Happy Sabbath, everyone. Has God been good to you? Have you had a wonderful week? Indeed, wonderful. I am so happy to be here to speak to you today. I want to thank Pastor Muir for giving me this opportunity. The sermon title for today's message is Strange Love. Before we go into the word, let us pray. Our Heavenly Eternal Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your many blessings. I come to you now as your humble servant, realizing that without you I am nothing. Realizing that you are my all in all. And so God, I ask that you will take me, use me, may the words that I speak to your people, may they not be my words, but may they be your words coming from your throne room. For I am confident that if you could speak through a donkey, quite frankly, you can speak through me. So use me to speak to your people and bless us with a word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Strange love. Most people love a good romance story. Romeo and Juliet captivated the hearts of many, as two lovers could not find it possible to live without each other, so they rather to embrace the cold fangs of death than to live without their loved one. Strange love is the title of today's sermon, but is also the title of an Indian drama series that captivated the world, at least I know for Jamaica, that many were captivated by this Indian drama romance series, as the stars of this Indian romance series, Khushi Kumali Gupta, a chirpy, cheerful, an optimistic young girl from a middle-class society in India who, through a series of events, happened to meet this young man by the name of Arnav Singh Raizada. And he was obnoxious. He was mean and unkind and harsh. But through a series of events, the two started to have feelings for each other. But at the time, Arnav was in a relationship. And even though he was in that relationship, his heart yearned for Khushi. But though Khushi would be affectionate and loving to Arnav, he would treat her so mean and embarrass her and say harsh words to her, even though in his heart it was love. But his mouth would confess something quite differently. Strange love, isn't it? But there is an even greater strange love in the Word of God. And that is portrayed in the story of Hosea. It depicts such a dramatic love story. The book of Hosea is classified to be in the category of the minor prophets, not because the book has lesser significance or importance, but due to the briefness, the shortness of the writing. The book of Hosea was written in the northern kingdom, somewhere in the 8th century BC, during the reign of Jeroboam II, king of Israel. The name Hosea is a shortened form of the Hebrew Hoshea, which means Jehovah has saved. Now, not much is known of the prophet's latter days, but verse 1 of chapter 1 tells us that he was the son of Beeri. Hosea lived in the darkest period of the history of Israel, just before the nation was taken into captivity by Assyria. The people of that time were steeped in sexual immorality, in idolatry, injustice, violence, oppression, and engage in the most debased forms of passions. Uzziah was called by God to reveal God's invincible and enduring love to his people in spite of their sinfulness. He was to depict this love story by marrying a harlot by the name of Gomer. The three children that he had, Zezreel, Loruama, and Loami, symbolically portrayed his God's feelings towards his people. Though some scholars argue, they contemplate, and some say that this was not a real account, that God did not really do this. It was just fiction. It was a fiction. It was just a story to give us a lesson. But that is quite the contrary. This was a real account. Because in the Old Testament, we find God asking his prophets to do real and dramatic things. It was this same God who told Isaiah to walk around naked for 3.5 years to demonstrate or depict how he would cause Israel to be destitute and ashamed. It was this same God who told Ezekiel to bake his bread with dung to symbolize Israel's defilement. It was God who told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house and take a potter's vessel and break it to symbolically show how he would break Israel for their unfaithfulness. So God, at times, asked his prophets to do real and dramatic things to bring across his message. And the story of Uzziah was no different. This love story has some very important points, and I will speak to you on 3 points from this story of Uzziah. Point one, true love can only be found in the Word of God. It is only from God that we will know and understand what true love is. Point number two, our unfaithfulness does not cease God's love. And finally, God wants us to know him. In the world that you and I live in today, the word love is used so loosely. People say, I love my car. Oh, I just love these shoes. I love my suit. I love my pet dog. I love. The word love is used with almost anything that you can think of or imagine. During an occasion that some may know as Valentine's Day, that affection at times is turned towards one's partner, the one whom they admire, and they say that you are my Valentine. And chocolates flood the stores, and persons purchase the nice chocolates for those that they admire, and they purchase the nice red scented roses to give to that special someone, expensive colognes, and nice handwritten love letters are written to those whom they admire. Some confess their undying love. I will die for you. I love you so much. One songwriter says, I will catch a grenade for you. The love is confessed and professed. But oftentimes, these professed lovers fail to stand when the tire hits the road. For many will say, young people, my teenagers here, a nice boy will tell you all the nice words of what he will do for you and that I will give my life for you. But when it comes to the real situation, he's nowhere to be found. But that is contrary to what the Bible depicts, that true love, which is from the Word of God. And the Bible is not loose like the world that uses love for every single thing. It is more specific with its expressions of love. In the New Testament, we find three expressions of love. There is filial, brotherly love. There is eros, that intimate and passionate love, that love which is expressed between husband and wife in a deep and intimate relation. There is agape love, that unconditional, sacrificial love. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that is sometimes translated for love based on certain contexts and in other instances can be translated in other words, but the word hesed, is often the Hebrew word used to indicate God's love. According to Louis Verberg, while the word hesed can be translated as grace, mercy, or loving kindness, its meaning is much deeper. Hesed is to love as God loves. This world says, love only those who love you. But what does Jesus say? In Matthew 5, let's go there together. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 47. And we're reading together, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 47. When you're there, say amen. All right, and we're going to read it together. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 47. All right, we're going after 2, 1, 2. He have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that he may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if he love them which love you, what reward have he? Do not even the publicans the same? Verse 47. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? I just want to read verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So the love which comes from God is strange to the world. It is contrary that when someone hurts you or has wrongfully done something very evil to you or your family, that Jesus is saying, love them. Love your enemies. And in the eyes of the world, that is mere foolishness. That is strange. But that is the love which God is calling us, you and I, to demonstrate to those that are around us. And we can only possess that love by having Jesus Christ in our hearts. Hesed also means, is based on a covenant relationship. Hesed is sometimes translated as unfailing love, which endures to eternity. Hesed also describes unmerited forgiveness of sin and unmerited kindness to those, unmerited kindness that seeks to actively help a loved one. It is love in action. Hence, what am I saying? God not only speaks love, but he acts on his love. In other words, God puts his money where his mouth is. By Uzziah marrying Gomer, God wanted to show his people that he loves them and desires to be in an eternal covenant with them and with us today. God demonstrated his love to humanity through John 3, verse 16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is love in action. God demonstrated his love to us by sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Friends, the very character of God is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8, tells us something about love. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. And it says here, charity is the word used for love here. Charity suffered long and is kind. Let's read together. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiced not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So if you want to know what love is, then I invite you to open the Word of God. And young people today who are finding the Bible to be so boring, this book is filled with action. It is filled with adventure. It is filled with music. It is filled with songs of praise. It is filled with every lesson that you and I need as a manual, as a guide to live in the sinful world. How can we fail to read this beautiful book that depicts the love of God and the character of Jesus Christ? Which leads me to my second point. Our unfaithfulness to God does not cease his love. You see, many times you and I read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and we say to ourselves, how could the children of Israel be so unfaithful? After all that God has done for them. I mean, God delivered them from Egyptian slavery. He created a highway in the Red Seas and slew Pharaoh's army. He was a pillar of cloud by day in the burning sun and a pillar of fire by night. He caused manna, angels' food, to rain down from heaven. He caused water to flow in the midst of the desert places. But yet, we find Israel backsliding by worshiping idols. Various false gods such as Baal and Ashtaroth, they sacrifice their children and often engage in various forms of injustice and immorality. The life of Gomer, the harlot, depicted the state of Israel who professed to be God's people but were committing spiritual adultery with God. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, we hear some of these words being expressed by Jehovah. Hosea chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, "And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother had played the harlot. She that conceived them had done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1, God commanded Hosea to still love Gomer as how he loves his people. He declares, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love that the Lord hath toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." This is indeed strange love. Loving someone even when they are hurting you. Can you imagine that? Can you feel that? Have you ever loved someone who does not reciprocate? Love someone so much, but yet they do not display the same feelings? This is how the heart of God yearned for his children. Because he loved them. He's saying to them, "I am here, my children. Come unto me and I will give you rest." But no, they chose to worship other gods. They chose sin to be their master. And oftentimes, we are no different than Gomer. For whenever we place our house, or car, or children, or jobs, or even our spouse, before God, we are becoming Gomers. When we promise God that we will stay faithful to Him, but we keep falling in the same sin over and over and over and over again, we are becoming Gomers. When we are good Christians at church, but in the week, at work, school, or in our homes, we are the exact opposite. We are Gomers because we profess to love God with our mouth, but our lives do not show it. We are serving sin instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each time we sin, we break the heart of God. Each time we sin, Ellen White says, we crucify him afresh. If you have loved someone who did not love you in return, then you can imagine how it feels at times. But like the prodigal son, God is calling you and I today, Elmira, to dust the dust of sin from off our garments, to arise from the mud of sin and turn to our Father, repent and confess our sins and say, "Father, I have sinned against you. I am no more worthy to be called your son nor your daughter." And we will find the arms of Jesus opening wide, even in our sinful and dirty garments. He's saying, "Come to me. I can make you clean." Isaiah says, "I will make you white as snow." Being a Christian does not mean you will never sin. But when you do sin, it means that you do not stay in the mud of sin. Proverbs 24 verse 16 declares that the righteous falleth seven times, but the wicked falleth into mischief. The righteous falleth seven times, but he riseth again, but the wicked falleth into mischief. We are saints of the living God, and though we fall into sin, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And once we have given our hearts to Jesus, sin no longer has dominion over us. Sin no longer is our master. We serve sin no longer. So when the cold fangs of sin seem to bind you in chains of darkness, hopelessness, and depression, Jesus Christ has given us the power through his Holy Spirit to break those chains of sin and arise to holiness and perfection.
For if we cannot be perfect, it is well mindful that we close the doors of this church. But Jesus Christ declares, be he perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And Jesus Christ demonstrated perfection by living a life without sin, by staying connected to his heavenly Father, by submitting daily to his Holy Spirit and living above sin. And when the devil comes knocking with sin and temptation, he declares, it is written. And likewise, Elmira, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can live above sin. Though we fall in sin, let us not remain in sin, but let us arise. Let us walk in newness of life, because Jesus Christ has given us the power and the victory to overcome sin and its defilement. Though Gomer kept on cheating on Uzziah, he still sought after her and brought her home. In the eyes of the world, Uzziah would be seen as a foolish man, and his love would be seen as strange. God's love, I repeat, is indeed strange. For God loves the unlovable. And even when we fall into sin, he still loves us and yearns to save us. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why does God love me so much? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever contemplated on this question? That when earth fell and plunged into sin, when Adam and Eve, they sinned and dominion was given over to Lucifer, you declared, why does God love me so much that he would put on the likeness of man? He would come and live on this earth, sin-polluted earth, and go all the way to Calvary for me? Jesus loves us, and he has put his love into action. I often ask myself, why does he bless me even though I am so unworthy? Friends, you cannot exhaust the love of God. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. You could be the vilest of sinners. You may have had a horrible and a horrific past, and you feel so unworthy, so wretched and torn, but Jesus is saying today, I love you. Though some may say that they will die for you, Jesus Christ has paid it all. Bruno Mars said it in his love song that I will catch a grenade for you. He said that he will catch an explosive grenade for the girl that he loves. But I say to someone today in Elmira that Jesus Christ caught the grenade of sin and it exploded upon him. But sin did not destroy him, because he arose from the grave and gained the victory over sin. And so today, that same victory is available to you and I today. For Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. Let's read that together. Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. Romans 5, 6 to 8 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Let me hear you reading verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ did not wait until you and I were loving to come and die for us. Jesus Christ died for humanity at the point when humanity, Isaiah 53 says, that they came amongst his own, yet they knew him not. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But through his stripes, you and I receive healing. Through his stripes, you and I receive victory over sin. And though they spat upon him, though they called him a wine bibber, and those that drank with publicans and sinners, though they called him the vilest of names and ridiculed him, though they whipped him with the most severest of beatings, though they placed a thorn of crown upon his head, though they did all manner of evil, they spat upon the face of our Savior, yet he bore it all because he looked down in time and he saw someone today at Elmira who would need the gift of salvation. Jesus Christ, even when he was on the cross, and he was about to give up his ghost, he declared to his Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is unfailing love in action, demonstrated at the cross of Calvary. And so when we look to the cross, we find hope. When we look to the cross, we find victory, because there is power in the blood of Jesus to give us victory over sin and to give you and I a new heart so that we no longer will be slaves to sin but surrender all to Jesus Christ. Which brings me to my final point. God wants us to know him. Love cannot be forced. Otherwise, it will fail to be love. Love, to love, must be a choice. And that is why God has given us the gift of free will, so we may choose to love him. For only when we choose to love God can that really be counted as love. God desires that we have an intimate and personal relationship with him. He desires that we will know him. In the Hebrew language, the word used that is often used for love, for know, sorry, is yada. And yada has several meanings based on its context in which it is used. But this yada, which means to know, is much deeper than an intellectual knowing. Yada, the Lord means more than an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. It involves having a relationship with God. It involves communing with him. In other words, we can know about Jesus, but yet we do not know him. I repeat that. We can know about Jesus, but yet we do not know him. What am I saying? I'm saying that knowing the 2,300-day prophecy is quite good. Knowing the 1,260-day prophecy is wonderful. Knowing the writings of Ellen White is excellent. Being able to quote multiple scriptures from memory is superb. Knowing the 28 fundamental beliefs is something to celebrate. But unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our intellectual knowledge will not avail to anything. Nor are we saved by our works and deeds. Yes, eating a vegetarian or vegan diet is excellent. Being active in church, and I'm here preaching and even teaching and singing and working for the Lord is all excellent. But unless you and I, Elmira, personally know Jesus Christ for ourselves, all is but meaningless. For we are not saved by our head knowledge, but by righteousness, by faith in Jesus Christ, are ye saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So let us not rejoice in the many things that I know and the many achievements that I have and the many degrees and bachelors and masters and PhDs that I have under my belt, because none of that can save us. It is only by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can you and I be saved. It is only by Yada, Jesus, can we be saved. Not having an intellectual knowledge, not knowing the name of Jesus or where Jesus was born or the life and ministry of Jesus, not knowing to quote various things about the Bible. None of that can save us. But it is by knowing Jesus for yourself. Young people, by knowing Jesus for yourself, not by the faith of your parents can you be saved, not by the faith of your friends, but by faith in Jesus Christ can you be saved. So when all others are failing around you, when those you think who love Jesus are doing the wrong, you who know Jesus and know what is right, choose to stand for Jesus. So how do we know Jesus? By spending time in His Word. By praying daily for His Holy Spirit. By asking Him to crucify self daily afresh and baptize us with His Holy Spirit. So that the life we live, the Apostle Paul says, for I am crucified with Christ. Yea, not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave His life for me. So daily, we have to crucify self by praying and asking God for His overcoming power to overcome our selfish desires and our tendencies to want to like go after sin and go after our lovers and those things that gratify ourselves. Jesus Christ is saying today, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we need to spend time in His Word. We need to pray daily for His Holy Spirit. And by sharing His love with others, you and I will love Jesus even more. How do we show we love Him? John 14, verse 15. What does it say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome nor grievous. We do not keep God's commandments to be saved, but we keep them as an expression of our love towards a God who has saved us. God is looking out for some people who truly love Him. And if we love God, we must also love our brothers and sisters. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8 declares, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So it is impossible for you to say that you love God, but yet you hate your brother or sister. It is impossible. For where the love of God exists in the heart, you can only but love even those who despitefully use and persecute you, even those who say all manner of evil against you. But because you know God, and God is love, and God is in your heart, then you shall love your brothers and sisters with that unfailing love. I praise God today for the love that has been shown to me from Elmira amongst you, brethren, here at this wonderful church. And I pray that you will continue to allow the love of Jesus to reign in your hearts so that others will feel the love that Jesus gives. Because the truth is, we are the only Jesus that many will ever see. By our lives, people will see Jesus. By the way we talk, people will see Jesus. By the way we dress, people will see Jesus. By the way we walk, people will see Jesus. For in the days when those who sought to after a rabbi or a trainer, in order to be like the rabbi or the master, they would spend days following the rabbi. They would walk like the rabbi walks. They would dress like the rabbi dressed. They would eat when the rabbi eats. And if we are professing to be Christians, believers of Jesus Christ, I say to you today, Elmira, that we should walk as how Jesus walked. We should live as how Jesus lived. We should eat as how Jesus lived. We should watch, young people, what Jesus would watch. We should go where Jesus wants to go. And truly, that love will be transformed into our lives. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love him? In the last days, we will need to be anchored in God's love. So when persecution comes and Sunday law is passed, we will not bow the knee, but like the Hebrew boys, we declare boldly that even though if you cast me into the fiery furnace, I will not renounce my faith in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And like Daniel, even though you may cast me into a lion's den, and even if the lions do not save me, like Daniel, I will not renounce my faith, because the love of God lives inside my heart. And the songwriter says, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Another song says, the love of God is greater far than tongues or tales can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest stars and reaches to the lowest hell. So how can I renounce Christ Jesus? How can I renounce my King who has given all for me? Elmira is calling us today to stand boldly for him, to love him unconditionally, to love him above all earthly things, to put him as the center of our lives, and everything else will fall into place. Uzziah bought back Gomer for 15 pieces of silver and 1.5 omer of barley. Christ bought us back with his precious blood. He redeemed us with his own life. By his precious blood, you and I have victory. For God gave heaven's best gift so that even though humanity was like Gomer, constantly falling into sin, but Jesus Christ demonstrated that love by giving his life to save a wretch like me. You are here today and you want to ask the Lord to forgive you for the many times you have sinned. You want to say, Lord, I see your great love, and my desire is to love you and to serve you more and to share your love with others. You want to say, Lord, give me courage to share your love with others and help me to know you each day. Won't you stand with me today as we pray together? And if someone is here today and you've not yet given your heart to Jesus, I invite you to come to the altar as we pray today for you. For you have seen
the great love of Jesus Christ, we have seen that He is a God of love, and He has sent His only begotten Son to give you eternal life. Won't you come today as we pray together? And I want to invite Kieran to come and sing the hymn. Before we pray, I want us to sing the hymn 108. Let us pray. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Sovereign God and King, we come to you this wonderful and beautiful and blessed Sabbath day to give you thanks, to tell you that we are so thankful for the gift of salvation. We are so thankful for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, that I come to you now, realizing that of myself I am nothing. So I ask, Lord, that this prayer will not be in vain, but will arise to your throne room as sweet incense. O Lord, we confess that many times we have failed you. We have sinned against you. Like Gomer, we have chosen other things above you. We have done wrong in times when you have placed us in places where we can proclaim your love, but in fear we fail to do so. We confess we have failed, but we are so thankful for your unfailing love that will love us to the lowest hell, that will love us in spite of our sinfulness, that love which you have displayed in action through sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And you are saying to us today that you have given us the power to live above sin. You are saying today, Lord, that you have given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, though this world may be steeped in sin, though we may be surrounded by sin and all manner of evil, you have given us your Holy Spirit so that you and we can be connected to our Heavenly Father, so that when temptation comes, we can repeat the word of God. We can resist temptation, not of our own strength, but Philippians 4 verse 13 declares, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Help us to believe your promises, because if we read your word but fail to believe them, they will be of naught in our lives. So help us to trust your promises. Trust you that you will never leave nor forsake us. Trust you that though we may be facing hardship and trials, though many of our fellow brothers and sisters around the world, even right now, are suffering persecution, many are losing their lives for the gospel's sake. Help us, Lord, to pray for our brothers and sisters. Help us here at Elmira to love as how Jesus Christ loves. Help us to show love to others in spite of our faults and our weaknesses. Help us to forgive. Help us to trust. Give us a heart like yours. Remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh so that we may live for you. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit and help us to walk uprightly and in your way. Be with this church, Elmira. You have placed this church here for such a time as this. As you called, you place Esther into the kingdom for such a time. I am confident that you have established this church for such a time as this. For the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. You have placed Elmira here, these faithful believers, Lord, who I can see love Jesus with all their heart. You have placed them here to share Jesus with those in need. And even now you have called myself and my other friends all the way from Jamaica to share the good news of Jesus. We say to you, Lord, that we are young, we are strong, we are willing to be used by you, but we know that the devil is not happy. He is not pleased, and he's seeking to destroy us as young people. He's seeking to destroy all those who profess to call on the name of Jesus. But we know that in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. And greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So help us to understand that we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers because we are children of the Most High God. So help us to go with boldness because Jesus Christ has given us the power. Thank you for all that you have done for us. And we anticipate the pouring out of your Holy Spirit upon your young men, upon your young women, upon those here at Elmira in these end times, so that we can go forward triumphantly. We can tell somebody that Jesus loves you because I have seen his working in my life and I know that his coming is very near. Thank you for what you have done for us today. Be with our young people from this church. Help them, Lord, to resist temptation. Help them to know Jesus for themselves because they cannot rely on their parents nor their grandparents, but they have to learn to know you for themselves. So help them, God, to love you, to know you, to serve you, and to praise you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for answering. And we know that you're already working on these our requests and our petitions. As we tell you thanks, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.